The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Wow. I don't know who Pastor Rob was just talking about, but I really want to meet that guy. He sounds really awesome. I tell you, it's such a privilege. The privilege is all mine. One, to serve with and under a man of God who, one, is continually on his face before the Father. What you see with Pastor Rob is what you get. He is a man of transparency. He is a man of honor. And as anointing comes and as oil comes, it starts at the head and flows down. And so as we're connected to that, and as we're connected to him, as he is anointed and as he is blessed, it trickles down to us. And so when there's an issue, when there's hurt, when there's something going on, that comes down to us too. And so it's our obligation and our privilege and responsibility to lift him and First Lady Tammy up. And can we just lift our hands and reach your hands out right now to our pastor? And I think Tammy, is she with the young ones? Right now, Father God, we just thank you and praise you that you have sent us, Father God, a shepherd. God, someone that is continuously in conversation with you, Father God, in dialogue with you, God, and God has a heart to not only change this congregation, this God, but this region and this area for you. God, he has been given an assignment to your people. And right now, God, we just lift him up. We speak a blessing, God, right now. God, let just peace fall in his mind, Father. Let peace come in his relationships, Father. Let a financial windfall just come to him, God. Let him not lack or need in anything. And Father God, because if he lacks, God, then we lack because we are attached to him. And right now, Father God, let division be killed right now in the name of Jesus. God, let the spirit of Jezebel be rebuked right now in the name of Jesus. And it's a new season and it is a new day, God, for our pastor and for it by that, God, by that connection for this house. And we just thank you and praise you that 2013 is a new season and a new day in Bethel Worship Center. And by that, God, that we know it's a new season and a new day for us. And we worship you, God. We praise you, even though we might not see it, we know it's coming. You've given it to us right now. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you guys so much. Y'all had me preaching all right. Good grief. Man, I tell you what, when Pastor Rob, I'm going to be honest with you. When Pastor Rob calls me, I get a little nervous. I don't know when you were in school, but like when the intercom came on and the principal's like, hey, can you send Chris to the principal's office? Sometimes it's good, but sometimes you did something wrong. And so you're never quite sure what Pastor Rob's going to call you about. Like, oh, crap, did I forget a kid somewhere? Or I was like, oh, this could be really bad. And I was like, I don't think I've done anything that he's caught me doing yet, so we're good. I'm just kidding. But and so he asked me to preach. I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then I hung up, and I'm like, wait a second. When am I going to do this? Like, when am I going to figure out what God wants to say? We had a lock-in where I was up for like 48 hours straight, and then we did engagement pictures and all this, and then we had Winter Jam Friday and got home at 3 a.m. and then had to go to Chester for Upward. And God had a plan because the little bit of sleep that I did get, he would wake me up and give me this word. And so, yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh. You can amen all you want. I wasn't happy at the time. Yes, right. Yeah. Yeah. I hate to break it to you, but your youth pastor can be a little unspiritual sometimes. It's like, God, could you tell me this at like 8, not 4:30? It'd be wonderful. But, it's hard when you're in worship and it's just so amazing and you still have this word that's just ready to come out. And so let's continue worship right now. My title for today's message is Stepping Into Your Promise. Stepping Into Your Promise. I really feel like 2013 is, you know, we've averted a financial cliff, whatever that means, for 2 months. And we survived the Mayan apocalypse, right? 2012 was a tumultuous year. somehow the economy's recovering, yet I don't know about you, but my paycheck doesn't show it. But we're on the verge. But 2013, you know, is one of, it's a new year. We're there to, you know, we make New Year's resolutions and hope to keep them for at least a week or two. I've worked out like three times this week, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Can you tell? Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Pastor Rob. I appreciate that. But stepping into your promise, it's all about perspective. There are so many times we can look at the chaos going around us, the chaos in our lives, and we have an attitude. And we have this like, oh my gosh, could anything go worse? But I want to share a quick story with you. There was a Marine slogan in World War II. It said that if it's difficult, it would take a day or two. If it's impossible, it would take a little longer. And one day during the Vietnam War, a platoon of Marines was surrounded by a battalion of enemies on their hilltop bunker. They were entrenched with sandbags, but were secured with a month's supply of ammo. The radio person called the base. He said, Alpha Base, this is Panther Platoon. We're surrounded by a battalion of enemies, over. Alpha Base answered, Panther Platoon, this is Alpha Base. Do you need air support, over? They answered back, Alpha Base, negative. No need for that. We have more than enough ammo and gallant Marines. We will not let the enemies escape. Copy that? Perspective. Some of us feel like we're in the exact same situation. I don't know about you, but there have been times I felt like I have been completely surrounded by the enemy and didn't have any idea what on earth I was going to do. I was pretty sure it was going to be the death of me, but what if I would have completely changed my perspective and seen it as an opportunity and not an opposition? And it's tough as Christians because we ride this line, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we truly, I think, miss what that means. Is that there are rules and there are slogans and there are belief systems that operate this world. That if you have money, you don't give it away. Because that doesn't make any sense, right? You get more. If somebody takes advantage of you, you don't ever trust them again. You try to maybe take advantage of someone else. But Jesus came and Jesus says that if you want money, give money away. If somebody takes your clothes, you give them anything else that you have. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely spitting in the face of what this world tells us. And we're riding this razor's edge of, okay, what do I do? Perspective completely changes everything. You know, right now, Europe is on the verge of financial collapse, and North Korea is testing nuclear warheads, and global warming is going to kill us, and global cooling is going to kill us, and there's a super comet or asteroid that's going to kill us, and solar flares are going to kill us, and every day we're just confronted with this next new thing, and you'd think, like with the Mayans, that we'd have figured out that, hey, ever since Jesus left, somebody's been saying, hey, something's going to kill us. But in the church, we get this bunker mentality, this attitude that, well, we're going to take care of ours, and we're going to be okay, and we're just going to hold up and wait for Jesus to come because we know where we're going. But our relationship with Christ, our salvation, is not fire insurance. It's a commission. It is a battlefield commission. We are not just people that are members or inhabitants of this earth. We are people who have been sent. We are soldiers who have paratrooped into enemy territory with an assignment to take this earth. I am preaching way better than your amen. And is this too tight? Is this in your face? I don't know. I'm in a pretty good mood, so I think it's just you. But what I'm saying is that this is an assignment. You are soldiers that have been trained. You have a relationship, and we have orders. And sometimes they're not fun. Sometimes they don't make sense. And sometimes they put us in harm's way. But guess what? We have a God who has said, I will make you more than a conqueror. There are eight of you who get that. One of the hardest things about being human is we have impossibilities. We have incurable diseases that we face. We have impossible bankruptcies to overcome. We have trials and tribulations that we look at and we say, there's absolutely no way I can do this by myself. And it's amazing. I do it too all the time. I'm like, God, there is no way. This is impossible. As Christians, impossible shouldn't even be a word in our vocabulary. Because the best thing about it is when we can't possibly do it, that means God gets all the glory, and guess what? He's probably going to do it, okay? Because he has made promises to you. He has promised that, guess what? We're not supposed to just get along, or we're not supposed to just eke by. And maybe some of you have just eked by so long you don't even believe what's being said to you. But right now, I rebuke the lies that you are being told, the lies that you have believed. And guess what? God is waiting to do something in your life. You might be just a praise away. You might, it's called a sacrifice of praise. What that means is when you don't feel like it, when it hurts a little bit, maybe when it doesn't make you feel good, you praise anyway. It's hard when you have cancer to say, God, I'm healed. It's hard when you're facing bankruptcy to say, God, I have more than enough. It's hard when your stomach is growling and you don't know how you're going to buy food for your baby to say, guess what? God, you can make manna show up in the morning. I'm believing right now that I'm going to get some manna. And some of you need to stand up and stop trying to look cute and say, yes, that's for me. That word is for me. And listen, if you got to take off your jacket, if you got to kick your shoes off, I'm about to throw my shoe at you. I'm telling you, you are a sacrifice of praise away of the breakthrough that God has for you. In 2013, it's time for a shaking. It's time for a new day. The past was amazing. The past was wonderful. I love it. The present's pretty good too. But guess what? My God is better. My God has a new song. I have a new praise in me. I can't wait to see what he's going to do in the future. Y'all preaching me out of breath. Woo! That was just my introduction. Y'all got me tired. Woo! That's right. Yes, my boy. Yes, thank you. I'll preach myself skinny in the name of Jesus. I'll be a lot of preaching. Y'all don't have that kind of time, do you? Woo, we'll be here until next New Year's. He tried to preach himself skinny. All right, if you have your Bible, raise it up. Wave it at me. Electronic digital counts. Okay, that's beautiful. You're way better than my teenagers. They don't ever bring theirs. Okay, Numbers 13. Numbers 13, just put your finger there. I've got several scriptures, but that's going to be the heart of this message. You know, one of the toughest parts of life, I think, is faith. Because faith is believing that something's really there that you can't see. And it defines our relationship with Christ. I've never seen God physically or seen Jesus physically, but I've seen his residual effects. I've seen his handiwork. I've seen him. I've felt him. Faith isn't something where somebody tells you the sky's pink and you're like, oh, okay, I have faith, the sky's pink. That's not faith. That's blind. It's just blind leading blind. But there's evidence. There's more than a reasonable doubt to convict Jesus of being real. I've seen him do amazing things in my life. I've seen him work miracles in others' lives. But it's hard when you're in the train tunnel in the dark to see that peak of light and truly believe that it's the end when you're surrounded by darkness. Hebrews 11:1 says, though without faith, it is impossible to please him. Even when it's risky or it looks hard, even when people are laughing at us and telling us we're ridiculous and we're stupid for believing what we believe. Faith. You know, I was reading the Bible, and when Jesus, excuse me, when he said, pick up your cross. You know, and growing up, I think, oh, you know, well, people are wearing their cross pendants or they got cross tattoos or whatever. When he said pick up your cross, it wasn't to make a fashion statement. When, as Christians, when we pick up our cross, you're going to die on it. Yes, we are called to live lives as the head and not the tail, but we're called to die to ourselves. And we're not all called to be martyrs. You know, that would be wonderful if God wants me to be a martyr. Hopefully not anytime soon. But you're going to have to die on your cross. There are things that you have done in your life. There are things that you value. There are things that you enjoy doing that you have to die to truly step in to what God has called you to. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of saying, I'm going to put others first. Thank you so much. Just meditate for a second. Isaiah 55:10. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, do not return there, but water the earth. And make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. When God says it, you can count on it. And when I speak his word, that is God speaking through me. It's time for a perspective change. It's time for an attitude change. One, that's why we need to know the word and memorize the word. Because when you're in a situation, I can yell at it or cuss at it or whatever all I want. But when I speak the word of God, it is God speaking into that situation. And that's what makes mountains move. That's what brings chains to fall off. That's what sets things into motion. Is God's word. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that flowed them, or followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. This is what we're going to get into is the nation of Israel. When we read that story, as God brought them out of Egypt, it's amazing the things that they saw God do. They saw God bring plagues. They saw God, you know, just make food show up on the grass. They saw God just, you know, have somebody chuck a log into the water and make it drinkable. They saw God do these amazing things. God split an ocean or split a sea and destroyed the most powerful army on the earth. And then all of a sudden, they're faced with some giants, and they're like, there's no way this can happen. There's no way we can make that work. And I'm like, what is wrong with these people, right? If that was me, we get all holy and right. If that was me, I'd have told them what we could. Oh, bull. Who here has ever seen someone healed? Raise your hand. Who here is when they got sick and prayed and nothing happened, like, I'm going to die? Don't even make me up here by myself. Thank you. You're not lying. Everyone else, shame on you. We all get there, right? We've all seen God do these amazing things. And the second it doesn't work the way we think it should work or as fast as we think it should work, we're like, God, did I do something wrong? God, what happened? God, I don't know if you can do this. But what we need to understand is right before every great move of God and right after every great move of God, the enemy is going to run wild in your life. And what is wrong is our perspective. I wonder that if we saw that, if we saw the work of the enemy, we saw the oppression of the enemy as a signal that there is something that has been loosed in your life from heaven, if we change that perspective, how our lives would be different. Would you praise a little different if you're going through hell, but you know that this is the thing that is preceding the miracle you've been praying for all year? I wonder how our walk would change if we had that understanding. I wonder how my mouth and the things I said and talked about would change if I truly believed that, although I'm going through it now, that is just the indication. It's the green light that something that I've been fasting for and longing for is about to be set loose in my life. And I can tell by looking in your face, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Can I go a little deeper? Can I go a little deeper? This may shock you, so sit down. Thank you. God is done working in your life. When God did everything, he sat down. He's done. Every blessing in your life is already there. Every healing in your life is already there. Every financial miracle in your life is already stored up in heaven. The only thing is it needs to be transferred from heaven to earth. And I'm not going to, that's a completely different message for a completely different day. But what I'm saying is God is not shocked by your situation. When Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is," it's already done in heaven. But the issue is there is an enemy with an assignment, and that assignment is your life. There is an enemy that understands that when something is loosed in heaven and coming to you, his job is to prevent it from getting to you. You're saying, "Chris, what on earth are you talking about?" I'm telling you what I'm talking about. Daniel 9:23. It says, "As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision." In Daniel 10, it goes on to say, "Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." The second he asked for it and prayed it, God released it. But there is a very real enemy with a very real assignment to prevent you from getting the things that God has for you. Now, is the enemy as equally powerful as God? No, there is no equal to God. But there is an enemy who does have an ability to influence things. And sometimes that is just getting you to give up on your dream or getting you to give up on that prayer and said, "I've waited too long, and God, you didn't answer me when I thought you should. And God, I've waited too long, and now my kid is locked up or my kid is strung out on drugs, and you must not care about him anymore. You must not care that I have cancer or my mom is sick. God, it's been a month. It's been a year. Maybe it's been 10 years. God, you don't care anymore." Well, guess what? He cares, and he released it the second you ask for it, if it's in his will. And guess what? You might just be a day away. What would have happened on day 20 if he'd have given up and stopped expecting? What would have happened on day 19 if he'd have given up and said, "Well, must not have been in your will for me," and walked on? Perspective. Perspective. Now I'm in my main text, so if you have your fingers still in Numbers 13, I am getting there, I didn't forget. Numbers 13:1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.'" So what did the Lord say? Send a man to scout out and spy. Did he say, "Go and tell me if I can beat him"? No. Because that wasn't even the question. That wasn't even the issue. There was no wondering, "Oh my gosh, how are we going to get this land?" It was promised. The thing was, go and tell us the best way to do it. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. All of them were heads of the children of Israel. Verse 4 through 15, it gives the names of the 12 tribes and the spies. And then 16, it says, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him what they and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk in front, milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, verse 28, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. They were all, their whole purpose, their commission, was to go and scout out and see where everything was. And what they focused on was the obstacle. And they missed the objective. And the problem is that as Christians, we have the exact same issue. We have the exact same problem. God has given us an objective and an assignment. And instead of walking in the courage and the confidence that we know we have, we focus on the obstacle. There was never a question on if they were going to beat those people. There was never a question on if they were going to occupy the land. It was just go find the best route to do it. And instead of walking in that, they were completely, completely stopped by an obstacle because they stopped seeing through God's eyes and started seeing through their own. We see in 2 Kings 17 when Elisha, he prayed, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. When you are staring down your giant and you feel this big and all alone, you need to understand, ask God to show you that you may see with spiritual eyes and understand that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in your back. And that there is an army who has been sent to help you get what God has called you to. There is a promised land that you are called to. There is a destiny in your life. And too many times we get tripped up. Too many times we get stopped and stonewalled because we look at an obstacle and say, there's no way I can do it. But if God tells you to jump, if God tells you to go in and occupy, there is no question on can you. It's just how is he going to have you do it? Perspective. It's time to change our thinking. It's time to change how we look at things. It's time to change how we act and how we talk and walk in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I have been given an assignment. I have been told to go and occupy. And I don't care if schools don't let me pray anymore. And I don't care if Congress doesn't even, if they want to take God out of everything off the mind. I do not care because I have been given an assignment. And the bigger the wall means the bigger the praise that God will get because they know there's no way I can do it. And it's time for us as Christians to stop bellyaching and saying, oh my gosh, this is so to, guess what? I don't have to worry about somebody killing me for being a Christian. I don't have to meet in a cave on Sunday morning because the government of this country is trying to hunt me down and persecute me. There is absolutely no reason for us to have been just completely stopped. But we look and we say, but everything's against us. Where everything, oh my gosh, we can't pray anymore. Look at the TV. Oh my gosh, look at, yes, it's all ridiculously perverse and it's disgusting. But if every Christian in America turned off MTV, if every Christian in America stopped going to see those movies, if every Christian in America stopped talking the way the world talks, I bet things would be different. If we acted like God has called us to act and we stepped into what God has called us to step into and truly were made a difference where we were planted, I wonder what this world would look like. We have this attitude and perspective that the only way to do ministry is to be in church. Guess what? If we were all in church, ministry would stop. You are a priest where you are at. You are a pastor where you are at. If you're working at a steel mill, guess what? They need Jesus too. If you're working on the boats, guess what? They need Jesus too. If you're working at McDonald's, let's just start praying over hamburgers and just speak blessing over people who are getting some french fries. You are called to truly have an impact and an influence where you have been planted. And it's time to stop saying, God, deliver me from this curse or deliver me from this job. Guess what? If you stepped up and truly had an impact, God will promote you. We need to stop running from giants. Giants, here, I need to get closer to you. This ain't working. Giants are a key. They are a sign that your final exam has arrived. You are about to move past your final exam and go to the next semester and the next class. And you will not get promoted. You will not get an A in the class if you're running from the final exam. The giants of your life, the enemy in your life, is an indication that God is ready to promote you. But you will not be promoted until you pass the test. Who's right here is in a test? Raise your hand. Somebody stand up and say, I'm in a test right now. And I'm not going to go anywhere. If you're a visitor, I'm sorry you're scared. Pastor Rob will be here next week. But you are here for a reason. And guess what? You are at a final exam. And I'm not going anywhere until I pass it. And you are about to be promoted to the next level, and I need some water. Oh, Jesus. I don't even know where I am right now. All right. Let's get back on this. We're never going home if you don't let me preach here. Come on. All right. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report, and the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." And Numbers 14:1 says, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept." When you compare what you lack to others, you always feel insufficient. Working with teenagers, one of the most heartbreaking things I see, and we're all confronted with it, but as someone who's trying to find their identity, they're constantly bombarded with examples of things they'll never be. You know, when you try to tell them, look, that model on that cover of that magazine, she's not even that pretty. Photoshop will do amazing things. The movie Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts had like 6 body doubles. The cover is just her head. The movie cover is just her head. Julia Roberts, People Magazine's prettiest woman on earth or whatever, isn't pretty enough to be on the cover of her own movie. In some movies, they can pick out which body parts they want. Women can pick out, you know, which arm or leg they want to just Photoshop in. But what we're bombarded with is when we look in the mirror, we begin to see all the ways we don't add up. We begin to see all the ways that we're insignificant or insufficient. We know what God is calling us to do. We hear him telling us to do something, but God, I'm not educated enough. God, I'm not smart enough. God, I don't have the money. God, I'm not tall. I'm not this. You look in the mirror and you begin to see everything that makes you not able to do what he's called you to do. But God wouldn't ask you to do it if you weren't able. God has hidden things in you that you haven't even begun to unwrap. God has placed things in you you haven't even begun to understand. You are called. You are assigned. You have more than enough ability and capability to do exactly what you're supposed to do. But we believe these lies of the enemy. And one of the best lies is our past. He begins to tell you all the times you screwed up when you... He begins to tell you all the times you didn't measure up. It may be the time that all those bad things that happened in your past and say, ha, see, that's who you are. But I have come to you today to tell you the devil is a liar. You are more. And that's another reason it's time to know the word of God and understand what he has called us to be. 14, chapter 14, verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation, the children of Israel. You know, when I was reading that, I'm like, wow, God, you are so wise when you called us sheep. Because no matter how many times the shepherd protects us from wolves, we're still terrified we're going to die the next time one shows up, right? We're stinky and we bite and we don't do what we're supposed to do no matter how many times. I just thought it was funny. Apparently you didn't. We'll move on. Y'all are too spiritual right now. Y'all don't know where I'm going. That's what it is. These people had been delivered over and over again. In the wilderness, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had food on the ground they could just go collect that came every day. Their bellies were full. They'd seen the biggest army on the planet wiped out. And they said, oh my, it was better back then. God, why'd you bring me here to die? I don't know about you, I've been there. God, why did you bring me this far only to make me look stupid now? God, why did you bring me this far only to make it worse? God, why did you bring me this far to just let me die here? It would have been better. And we have that attitude as Christians that we'll try this Christian thing out, right? We'll put it on as long as it's not inconvenient. We'll put it on as long as it doesn't hurt a little bit. But guess what? I've been to the gym, as you can tell, and one of the worst parts is the next day it hurts. Well, what that hurt is it's breaking down. Muscles are being broken down to be built back up. And guess what? Some of you need to be broken down so that God can build you back up. Right? You've been through things. You've seen things. It's hurt. You've been broken. And guess what? Now you've become this vessel that can't hold anything. And God is about to break you down. Not because he's mad at you. Not because he's disappointed. Because he wants to make you exactly what you need to be. And one of the things that really stuck out to me in that passage is they selected a leader that was going to take them back. There will always be a leader that will take you back. There will always be someone willing to lead you back to where you came from. And I thank God we have leadership in this church that respects the past and understands the past, but they are not willing to go back because they understand that my God has a new thing. There is a new season. There is something over the horizon, and maybe we look around and we're not where we want to be, but we know where God is taking us. And we have leadership who's not afraid to take us there.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
verse 6, it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. I wonder how many of you would have the courage to stand up and say, listen, I know what you all are saying, but I know what God has said. I know there's so many times like I just kind of go with the flow because I don't want to make waves. But it's time that we stop being the silent majority. It's time that we stop not trying to offend people, because Jesus was offensive. His message is offensive. His message is not one of being popular. It's not easy. It's one that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Guess what that means? It cuts. And cutting is painful. But it shaves the rough edges and it gets us to where Christ wants us to be. In verse 10 it says, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And we find that the Lord graciously holds back. Even though they willfully disobeyed. I'm wrapping up if the priest team can come back. God said that no one except for the two who obeyed are going to see what I've already promised you. Can I just be real with you right now? God is going to do what he wants to do. So you can either help or get run over. It's that simple.
Amen, sir. Amen.
God has a calling and a purpose on your life. You can't outrun it. You can ignore it all you want, but he's got a purpose, and he's going to use you to get it done, or he's not. And you can either make your life a lot easier or a lot harder, and he has the same purpose and calling for Bethel Worship Center. And we can band together and be a family and have work as a body with the arm working over here and the leg working over here, or we can get run over with what God is about to do, because he's going to do it either way. Israel spent 430 years in slavery waiting for their promise. They saw God send plagues, part the sea, lead with a fire and a cloud. They had full bellies. And they were given a promise. And they somehow held on to the belief that the promise was coming until they were one step away from it and said, no, this promise isn't for me. And God turned them away to the wilderness. He said, okay, he said, I'm not going to give up on you, but your promise is going to be delayed. God hasn't given up on you. There are those of you who maybe you knew what God had called you to do when you were 12 or 13 and you've been running or you've been ignoring or disobeying and now you're 50 or 60. Guess what? He hasn't ignored you. You're not in timeout. You are in school. You are being prepared for what God has for you. Because these moments, they don't come around every year. They don't come around every 6 months. They come around a couple times in a lifetime, and you missed it once, and God doesn't want you to miss it again. Because I don't know about you, I don't have another 40 years. I don't want to wait another 40 years for what God has for me. And if you miss it, God's not just going to throw you in the trash. He said, okay. Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to have to take you here, and you're going to have to be molded and worked on. And the whole time they were in the wilderness, they thought they were being punished. But they failed to realize that their bellies were full and their shoes hadn't worn out and their clothes hadn't worn out. And they didn't see that God was with them the whole time. You know, when I was a kid, I was like 7 or 8. We used to go to Odd Lots, and it's now Big Lots in Athens. And by the exit door, they had these arcade games. And so me and my brother, we just go mess around with the arcade games. We didn't have any quarters to put in them. We just pretend we'd play them while my parents were going shopping. And one time, me and my brother, he was probably five, if I was seven or eight. We were just up front, back when you could leave your kids alone. And we were just up front playing the video games. And my brother, for some reason, thought that my parents had been gone for a really long time. And he started to freak out. He's like, they've left us. They left the store without us. And we were right by the exit door, mind you. And he was like really freaking out, like, we're lost. Like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, no, we're fine. Then after a while, I'm like, oh my gosh, we are lost. My parents did leave us. What are we going to, we can't walk home. That's like 400 miles. You know, it was a couple miles away. But oh my gosh, I can't walk. And I was terrified. Like, we began to like freak out in the front of odd lots, like our parents have just left us and abandoned us. And so we go to the service counter, like, can you please page our parents and see if they're still in the store? Because we think they lost us. And about that time, my mom comes up just laughing. And we're like, oh my gosh, mom. She's like, I saw you the whole time. She's like, you thought you were lost. She's like, but I saw everything. She's like, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, mom, I'm emotionally broken. And you just laughed. She's like, yeah, I just laughed because it was hilarious. But so many of us have that belief of God with us. We think that we're lost. We think that we've run away and that God can never find us, only to understand that God has let you think that way, but you've been in his hand the whole time. If you're still here, if there's still breath in your lungs, God has an assignment for you. He's not done using you. When he's done, that's when he takes you to go see him forever and eternity. But when you're here, you still have an assignment and a purpose on your life. I don't know about you, that makes me excited. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. In 2013, it's time to lay down fear. It's time to lay down shame. It's time to lay down disappointment. And it's time to stop blaming God for putting us in timeout. Your past is done. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2013 is going to be a year. I'm not going to go there yet. Hold on. I believe that God has given us a declaration, and it's in 2 Corinthians 5, and it's 16 through 21. When you're there, say amen. Oh, yeah, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us that the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I believe that 2013 is the year that we're going to praise God in the wilderness because we know the promised land is just around the corner. I believe that 2013 is going to be the year that we step into that promise that has been delayed for far too long. I believe that you are going to declare, I declare right now, that there are things that are going to come to you that you have been waiting for, and you need to stand up right now and change your praise, because there should be an expectation, and maybe you don't want it. that's fine. You can stay sitting down. But right now, I believe that 2013 is going to be the year that no longer are the things hold that are the flood walls are breaking right now. The things the enemy has built up to hold things from you are crashing down. And 2013, you'll begin to receive. There will be sons and daughters that come back to Christ. There'll be people who broken homes that come back together. There'll be people who are strung out on drugs that put the needles down. There'll be homes and marriages that are just put back together. But the key is to praise God like it's already here, even though you can't see it. And if you guys can lead us in a song right now, that's our declaration. Just let's praise, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Rob that he can close us out however he sees fit. But 2013, your worship should be different. Your attitude should be different. The words you speak should be different. There should be an expectation of God's work in your life right now. We thank you, Father.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.